You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. You can email me any old time you like. You can't email me at the phone number. So I will give you my email address, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can call or text 573-4BREAD-4, and you can always log on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com to look at any archive you would like from years past. We have so many topics, so many subjects, and you can also find other contributors as well. We don't really duplicate ourselves, so everybody's got a different walk in life, a different expertise, a different place from where they're coming, a different way to say sometimes the same thing. So it's really exciting and fun because we could have, I always love to go to nature, you know that. So we could have five things, right? I mean, literally our earth could have probably five or six things growing from the ground and we would probably all just be fine. Some kind of a colorful plant and a fruit, some kind of a vegetable, some kind of a root and some kind of a seed or nut tree, just a few things that we would survive just fine. But we have, I can't even imagine how many varieties we have of grass, just grass, just grass. How many varieties we have of flowers. How many varieties of just about everything, birds, and how many varieties of colors in one single feather of a bird, of one single bird. It is mind-boggling. And we just walk past them. Like people who they say, you know, I've lived in New York my whole life. I've never been to the Statue of Liberty. But other people will come from other countries from thousands, tens of thousands miles away just to see the Statue of Liberty. So we don't appreciate what's in our backyard. We don't appreciate the people in our backyard. We don't appreciate our husbands. We don't appreciate our children. We don't appreciate our wives. We don't appreciate our friends. Even when we do appreciate them, we'll say, well, of course we love them. Of course we appreciate them. Of course, you know, I couldn't imagine life without them. But day in, day out, we do imagine our lives without them. Because we live our lives without them often. We don't see what's in front of our face. And every once in a while, we get more or less, depending on who you are, of a wake-up call, a shake-up. Someone suddenly dies. There's an illness that's been diagnosed. There's an illness, as I was telling you, a couple of weeks ago about autism. Very questionable diagnosis of the autistic spectrum. And I am not going to get into that now because I have a lot to say about it. Any of you who either yourself or you have a loved one or you have a child diagnosed on the autistic spectrum, I'm not telling you it is not accurate. I am not telling you you should not have some kind of treatment, medication, whatever. But I don't know that. What I am telling you is that a spectrum is extremely difficult to pinpoint a diagnosis. When there's no borders or it bleeds over very easily into something else, how do you actually know? So you must follow all these, and we're going to talk about that today. Solutions, problems and solutions, intuition, faith, what to do when faith gets face down in the dirt, how we get back up and rise again. What happens when we are just shocked where it's normal, very normal. Some people are, you know, we are just like the flowers and just like the grasses. We are an infinite variety. Our spectrums are infinite. And when you tell me about a spectrum, Are you looking at the infrared and the ultraviolet and the ultraviolet and the five different kinds of infrared and the, I don't know if there's five, but there are several different forms of like on the infrared part. So that they use sometimes even in healing, there are infrared things you can get to put on your horse or your dog to help them heal some kind of tendon sprain or muscle problem. And we see the red lights on those pads or those devices, but they're actually colored lights. They're not, the red is not necessarily the color of the actual wavelength and the frequency. You're bombarded continually. Before the internet, before wireless anything, when we had corded telephones and there was no such thing as a wireless anything. Let me take that back. We had radios and TVs, but they had to be corded, but we also, they did travel through the air. We knew that. My first physics course studying, and that was a long time ago, studying the actual different waves that we are bombarded with daily just by living. And when we're in an airplane, we're bombarded by different waves. And then we get into the x-rays and the this. I mean, really, these things became discovered for tens of thousands of years. There was no knowledge that there was such thing as an x-ray. Just wasn't there. Look how many years people lived on this planet until the x-ray, the old-fashioned x-ray, was discovered, and not at a low price. It was a very high price. Because the people studying, Madame Curie and some of the other people, got a lot of diseases by studying this because they didn't know what they were working with. So we didn't just all of a sudden learn something that changed the face of the earth, how we go about discovery. A lot of our discoveries are from problems, difficulties, sometimes even inadvertently poisonings and death. So that to say, that's all good news, believe it or not. That to say, we have to always give ourselves and the world around us a break. Advertising would have you believe that what is now is completely science. It's there. That's it. We were stupid before. Now that we know so much and we're just so awesome, and we can show you pretty pictures of us in as humans in these absolute impossible looking forms jogging down a beach, that gives us a feeling and a sense of this false security that we really can rely on what is right now. And history tells us, whoever it said that those who do not, and I don't know, I have to look that up over the break, whoever said those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it, were right on. And so any way you can get rid of history, you can do it. Now, this is all going to go toward looking at problem solutions, intuition, faith, knowledge, science. But going back to this idea of the spectrum, autism is absolutely real. I have seen the worst of it. My ribs were almost crushed once by a very nice guy who had autism. But he was growing up and he was very big and he did not know, he just didn't know what he was doing. So that just happened, but it was, you know, it was fine for me, but I've seen it. I've seen people huddled in corners because things that we could not see, hear, or feel or sense, they can. And so they become overwhelmed and afraid, or there's certain things that happen. Just like some people can go in the old days, could go to a disco and there'd be a strobe light everybody's dancing to. And every once in a while you'd hear of somebody who'd fall over in seizures. Nobody knew they had seizures. Or there were people who would have seizures in a shower for the first time. And a lot of times it's because of the certain rhythmic repetitive thing that short circuited a brain that was prone to seizures. So we don't know everything. We don't know what's going on. We look at a spectrum. There are children who are being taken at a snapshot in human development and looked at and said, you're not doing this little X thing. So therefore you're on a scale and you might outgrow them. You're on a spectrum. it may or may not be real. You have to use all your powers of discernment, all your powers. We sometimes go down wrong roads. I have with my own children, my own family, as a young mom and a not so young mom, because of what I read and because of what seemed to be the new thing. And one of the wisest things I was ever told by my father when I started in, down the road of medicine, he goes, don't ever go with the brand new thing. Go with tried and true, because the brand new thing will always be found out to have some problems. But in the beginning, it takes, sometimes it takes a generation to find out what the problem is. And I'll give you some examples when we get back with some very common medications and situations. But mainly I want to get into how you look at problems, any problem, and how you look for solutions. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break. Grab your coffee, look out the window, see what you're grateful for. Join me on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. I hope you have grabbed your coffee. You're looking out the window. You are seeing something. I don't care if it is one little cloud that's going by. Maybe you live completely surrounded by buildings. Maybe you live in your car and you're listening to this in your car. Look out the window. We're going to talk about problems and solutions and faith and discernment, intuition. It all goes into one mixed bag. You don't have to spend a lifetime. And believe me, from someone who has spent a lifetime, I always get so intellectually interested in these various forms. And studying about something does not equal experiencing something. So studying intuition will not make you more intuitive. Studying faith will not make you more faithful. It may help you to spark and grow the faith already in you, but the study of it, I've known people in my profession, I've come across people who had, through whatever reason, some people who are very sociopathic or very strong narcissistic personality disorders. There are some people that have been so broken, and however reason they are. And again, because you've had a bad life does not mean you are going to be one of these people. Some people can survive things. Some people can't. Some people go to war and end up with severe PTSD. Some do the same things, see the same things, and don't have it. We don't always know what happens. We would love to be able to say, well, this person came from this kind of household, and that's why they're better. We have study after study, year after year, decade after decade of what makes somebody happy. So, you get these few things that come down that people recite, but in the end, that isn't what makes people happy. There are lots of people whose whole families have been wiped off the face of this earth who are happy. They don't have their family support system. We look at it culturally, and that goes back to that spectrum thing I was talking about. Is that we're looking at a snapshot from a culture. If you take that same culture, we learned back in early college days, might have been high school, that one of the problems with standardized testing that they used to give all the grade schools and all the middle schools and all the high schools was that you could not draw accurate conclusions from these tests, because if the person making up the test or the people making up the tests were housed, let's say, in Chicago or Philadelphia or Louisville, Kentucky, if they ask the question, you use galoshes, and then they give you five or six possibilities, a person growing up in that environment might be able to, and we don't even use the word galoshes anymore, but then that was the example they used. They might have had a huge amount of population that could answer that question, what are galoshes or when do you use them? But a whole other group of people would not be able to answer them. Now, are they not as intelligent? What conclusions can we draw? Well, what the conclusion we have to draw is if you are a child who was brought up in Phoenix, Arizona, and your family hailed from there, you would have never had the experience of even owning a pair, most likely, of galoshes because you lived in the desert. Maybe you call them something differently. So when we look at, we have to look at what are we testing? When are we testing it? Where are we testing it? How are we testing it? What are their criteria? So in your own family, with your own problems and your own issues, you have to be your own sleuth. You have to be your own anthropologist. Now, that said, let's look at solutions and problems. One of the biggest traps, because knowledge is power, one of the biggest traps that comes along is that we are our own anthropologists, which is what we need to be. We need to really take a good look at ourselves before we entrust ourselves to experts. But at the same time, we tend to, and the experts help us do this in my profession and in a lot of different professions, look endlessly at how you got to a place. It is extremely important to see problems, to see how you got there, to see patterns, because sometimes people react and they don't understand that their reaction is really a series of reactions over a lifetime. And it may be something they've patterned after a family that people just scream, let's say, when they see a mouse. And they don't know why they're screaming when they see a mouse. They just scream when they see a mouse. It could be something like that, or it could be because of some kind of fear, trauma, anything. So these patterns are good to look at. So you can go, wow, wait a minute. I didn't even realize I had a pattern. I've had people tell me that as we look over things, we might look over old records. We might look over some letters maybe from a family or from the fathers and mothers, the grandmothers, grandfathers. And we see a certain pattern of thinking, the way that you view issues and problems. We might see sitcoms where people joke about, you know, well, in my family, we just sweep everything under the carpet and laugh about that. But that is not so far from the truth. So it does, knowledge is power. So we can, that can be our first step in learning how to sit back and really utilize that. It's not, we harness that energy. We don't just have Niagara Falls in our life. We start to understand it a bit and then we can harness it if we get a little bit of perspective. But what that can be, the trap that can happen is that you're constantly looking at your own problems and someone else's problems. And so you're always figuring out the reason why. And that's where they have that term that's come up, analysis paralysis or paralysis of analysis, where there's a point where you just keep going around and around and around as you keep going further and further. But meanwhile, your bills aren't getting paid, or meanwhile, the relationship's still going downhill. So we need to have a balance. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we look and see that usually when we are dealing with a problem, we look at the fact that it will engender fear. If you did not have some form of fear, I'm going to lose my husband, I'm going to lose my boyfriend, I'm not going to be liked, I'm not going to be accepted, they're not going to like my work, they're not going to like my piano playing, they're not going to like my voice. Some fear, and again, as we hear a lot, this is first world problems, right? These are things we're not talking about. Food, although that can be the same thing. So if you are someone who doesn't have food, someone who is homeless. I know someone right now who's getting out of jail today, someone I've worked with, who has is a young person and has some big, big issues. And they're homeless. They're intelligent. They've had good schooling. And if it's constantly, when they're constantly looking at why I am homeless, how I got here, they never get to that next step of how do I start getting out? That's the hardest thing. So what happens is it's a constant circle and you go to the same solution or the same fix. It's a fix. It's not a solution. The quick fix is not a solution. Sometimes it gets you through, but it is not a solution. Oftentimes our quick fixes are the things we did when we were in the middle of a fight or flight mode, or we are so frightened, just like when I'm talking about the spectrum. A spectrum, you may or may not be on a spectrum, your child may or may not be on an autistic spectrum, but the first thing is protective fear, which is a good thing, and emotional fear and anxiety about your child maybe not having a good life, maybe having some kind of a disability to face life. I've not met one person who, when they birthed a baby who may have obvious disabilities, did not go through tears and fear. And then I interview them or talk to them 20 years later, and the miracles that happen in their life are just unbelievable. Doesn't mean it's not hard. It is hard. But the beauties and the, it just so much comes out of all life, but it takes a while sometimes for that to realize. So you need to realize that our quick fixes, the things we do in the beginning, they're our first reactions. They're frontline. They're triaging. Oh my gosh, I wasn't prepared for this. Even though I thought I might be prepared, I'm not prepared for the answer. I wanted a different answer. This isn't what I want. I can't believe it's happening. I do that myself. I've done that myself so many times. I cannot believe this is where this has landed. This is what I thought. How many of you out there have done that? I know you have, because I talk to you all the time. I know you have. I thought my boyfriend felt this way, and I'm finding out he's feeling the other way. I thought that my child was going to school every day. Come to find out, they haven't gone to school in a week. There's so many things and then that takes us off guard. And we're off. We're pushed off of our standing place. But that doesn't mean that we can't regain our place. Well, you grab your coffee, grab your juice, grab your water, do a little stretch, look out the window, be grateful. And I will see you after the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Always grateful, not always feeling grateful, but always grateful. All right, so we're talking about all the little pitfalls, solutions, problems, how to look at things almost as not only your own anthropologist, which means by definition, you're going to be looking for some facts. You're going to be looking for patterns. You're going to look for clues. Why are we this way? What is happening? We're going to look for those things. And we're also now then going to be aware as you go. Let's say you need to drive at night, 2 o'clock in the morning. You have to go out and get some cough medicine or something. And you're trying to find an all-night pharmacy or a Walmart or something. So you know what you need to do. You search your patterns. You look up Walmart or you look up your nearest pharmacy, or you get to your GPS and they'll guide you to the nearest one. But you also know there's going to be pitfalls. You're out in the middle of the night. You're all alone. Where is this place? What streets? What if you get lost? All these things have to come up. So it is good to know, what is it? Where is it? What do I need? What's the problem? Why am I going out in the middle of the night? At the same time, then it's good to be aware of the pitfalls. If I turn down this road, I get lost. I better have my phone. I better make sure I have my charger. All these different things. So you are analyzing the situation. You're looking at it. You're looking at the things. You're not just flying through life. And you need help sometimes to look at that. You need someone else to say, but hey, have you seen it over here? This is what I see when I look at you. You see the failure. I see the collection. I see what you've done with the failure. That's a lot of what I do. I see what you've done with the failure. I've seen that despite these knocks, despite these slaps, despite these thinking that your boyfriend was into you and he's not into you, or he's pretending to be into you, or the fact that he actually ghosted you. All those things I watch how you handle them. I watch what happens to you. Yes, you go down and you cry and you feel worthless for 5 minutes. Yes, you go down and you feel like, you know, maybe you've misinterpreted everything in life. But then I watch you get up and I watch you laugh and I watch you bring joy to other people. I see what you do in your work. I see how you plant your gardens. I see what you do. I see your art. I hear your writing. You tell me your writing. These are the things we need to focus on. Sometimes those beautiful things are the solutions. So we can begin to look at only the problem, and then we get stuck. And we have to be very, very careful that we enlist everything in our power to help us go forward. So how do we do that? All right. So as we look, we can take the example of the autistic spectrum your child has been diagnosed with or you've been diagnosed with. We can take a picture of you found someone is an alcoholic in your family. You find that you're getting very anxious at work. Somehow it's bringing, I talked to a woman yesterday who switched from a supervisor switched supervisors because the one just would make her cringe inside because he reminded her of an ex-boyfriend. His mannerism, the way he spoke, and she connected those dots. Some people do not connect those dots. That's a good thing to do. That's searching for a pattern. Some people will just react. And they don't get that, wait a minute, I'm not reacting to him. I'm reacting to the fact he sounds like an ex-boyfriend of mine. He reacts like an ex-boyfriend of mine, and it triggers the fear I had because my ex-boyfriend was abusive. So she left him, went to someone else, and she jumped from the frying pan into the fire. And it was worse. And so she real and worse in a different way. Somebody that was just the opposite of him. And yet that person was very undermining. And so she made the decision and very reasonably went back and said, you know what? I have a problem. And I think it's because you sound a little bit like my ex-boyfriend, which is totally unfair. And I would like to work with you again. And the decision was honest. And it was clear and it worked out well. Now, that may not work for everybody, that kind of forthrightness in those situations. But here's what we need to do. She saw that there was a problem. She was anxious at work. That was the first one. And the anxiety produces fear and produces dread and produces all kinds of problems. But she was able to identify the anxiety. It's anxiety. I feel anxious. I feel unhappy. And I know I know it's something's not right. It should be okay. This is my new profession. It should be fine. So she identified that there was fear. So fear automatically has to find a reason, because what is fear? Fear is your high alert system. It's your alert to danger system. It's your early warning danger system. It gets you out of dodge fast when a hurricane's coming, or an earthquake's coming, or a marauder is coming, or, you know, a big animal's coming, or whatever. Fear is important. Fear needs to search out a problem, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to handle it. You would think, well, what the heck am I feeling? Same thing when someone is depressed. Oftentimes people will say, sometimes there are definite things in life that make you depressed. Definite. No two ways about it. You lost a job, you lost a family, you lost a house, you lost all kinds of money. Things aren't going the way you want, or you've been very ill. All kinds of things. Situational depression is real. Physiological depression is real. Low thyroid, diabetes, heart disease, post-surgical, anesthesia, pain medications, alcohol. All these things cause, all in their own, depression. Not everybody will feel it, but they are depressants, period. They're just depressants. And some people get really depressed on them or by them. So whether it's a situational or whether it's a medicine, and those things can be easily remedied. But sometimes there's a biochemical, and maybe it is something like a thyroid, but there's a biochemical depression that comes about. And when you talk to someone, they can say, yes, I used to see this all the time in general practice. They would say, oh, I know why I feel depressed. And they would name about five things that were pretty darn depressing. But that wasn't the reason they were depressed. But their body needed to search out a reason. Their mind needed to, because they had this overwhelming destructive feeling, because depression ends up destroying you. Just like someone who is starving, or who starves themselves. It's a kind of an odd little twist that happens in the brain, and they are literally killing themselves. They may not desire that. They may not understand that, but that's what ends up happening. So you have to look at this and say to yourself, okay, so there's a reason I have fear. And it could be that something's fearful, or it could be that I have high anxiety. There could be all different reasons. But fear will always search out the reason. And the reason doesn't give you a solution. So the rest of this program is going to be about how do we find solutions? Because solutions are what you want. Now, many of us get stuck on the fear and the problem. You don't even want to get to the solution part, because you want to right the wrong that caused the problem. You want to make the person see. You want to have them acknowledge a perpetrator, a child molester, something that happened to you decades ago, a really weird family environment, someone who had an old man as a father. Oftentimes people who have old men as fathers. And I say old men because they're more likely, or people who even have loving grandparents. There are problems that come up with that. Doesn't mean it's not a good thing and they shouldn't be here. But what happens a lot of times is that the things that you need for your natural development, you don't get, because the cycle has been changed a little bit. We do the best we can, and it's better. It's wonderful. But some issues happen with it. So if we can identify those issues, that's great stuff. But we can then also, sometimes you want to right the wrongs that can never be righted, can never be set right. We make mistakes. We have problems. We have quirks of fate and nature. Situations arise. People do things they wouldn't normally do in given other circumstances. This is our life around us. And that's the beauty of our life, is that we're not supposed to be away from those things. We're supposed to live in those things and help others as this huge, tight fabric, how to get through it. Just look at Lent. Just look at Lent. Nothing went right, did it? If you would have known the problem, as the apostles did, let's say, this is God. This is the Christ. People don't get him. They're not understanding him. We don't understand him. You don't seem to see that you're going down the wrong direction when you are wanting to stone him, or you're making fun of him, or you're ridiculing him, or you're harming him. It didn't change the outcome. And that's what he showed us. However, going along the road with your hand extended outward, living as authentically as possible, that's where the resurrection comes from. That's where the rising from the ashes. And as you're doing it, you are showing other people the road. We're going to talk about a young woman from Rwanda when we get back. We're also going to talk about just how to avoid some of the paralysis we get into. How do we run and go into those solutions that are going to help us live better lives? On the other side of the break, grab your coffee, look out the window, have some gratitude. We will see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, or email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. What a glorious day, because every breath we take, we have another chance. We have a chance to be us fully, but do things a bit differently. So how do we do this? Well, the whole program today is about, at the very core, balance. It's all about balance. To know that fear is something that sometimes we cannot control. Our reaction to it, maybe we have reasons for that. Looking at reasons and patterns are good things. They help us, just like getting off to Walmart. It helps in the middle of the night. It helps us to understand, to know the patterns of life. Middle of the night, danger a little bit more alert. By yourself, even more so. Where are you going to go? What part of town is it? Are you going to have everything you need? It seems more urgent there than, let's say, going off to the local grocery at noon. So there's reasons we look at patterns, why we don't just come up with that. There's a reason we come up with that, because we've read about patterns. We've read about the patterns in a certain neighborhood. We've read about patterns a certain time at night. There are certain things that just up our chances of a bad outcome. So fear is natural. But you remember then you have to be able to recognize fear. Okay, this is fear. I know my pattern. I know my pattern. My pattern is to react with a big gulp and lots of sweat and fear immediately. I seem to do that. I get that triggered, let's say. I'm just throwing it out there, some thought. Somebody I heard once say that about how they felt. And then they knew that within 10 or 15 minutes, when their bodies calmed down, their adrenaline calmed down. We all have different ways, different physiological set points. Some people get red fast. Some people just sit there and ponder for a while. So everyone has different temperaments. Honor the temperaments. Honor the skin you're in. Honor the temperament that you have. You may understand, yes, this is why I do this. But that isn't enough, because then you're just stuck always doing it. What you've identified, hopefully, maybe you haven't, maybe you need help with that, that you do it, number one, why you might do it. And then you have to go one step. This is the step we want to get to. It's about the solution, so that you can start training yourselves. It's the disciplined mind. And this is not an easy thing. And you think, if you have studied a lot, let's say, you think you have a disciplined mind. Oftentimes you don't. Because your mind can become a runaway train no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is. your mind can become a runaway train. We tend to ignore the runaway train that works 24/7 or that is, quote, productive, unquote, or that makes the most money or seems to have the most organized thought process. We think that is not a runaway train. Meanwhile, they're indulging in addictions and pornography or excessive shopping or gambling or something. So we need to look. I want you to look inside yourself and say, okay, I see patterns. Maybe look for some patterns. But then now I need to immediately look for solutions. What's the solution? I get the problem. Can't fix the problem. Can't fix the reason for the problem right now. What's the solution? What am I going to do now? Can't fix the girl can't fix that her boyfriend was actually dating three other people and dumped her in a very, very difficult way. She can't fix that, but she can see her immediate reaction, which is fear-based, all self-deprecating, all upset or maybe so angry at him. But she can look at solutions. What's a solution? Is there something there I didn't ask? What can I ask next time? Did I give too much too soon? Did I ignore red flags? These are all looking. And once you say, yeah, sure, I did, then the solution is to be more cautious, to be more patient, and keep your eyes open more. And maybe that's all you need to put your faith in. And if you have faith, which hopefully most of you do, a faith in some respect, if you're Catholic, if you're not Catholic, but you have faith that the very thing that you're going to put into motion is really when you get down to the core. And a lot of these things go through all faith-based traditions. It's about a more godly way of looking at things, a way of honoring the human person, your human person, loving you, loving God first, loving you next, and seeing how you're honoring yourself. Are you giving away too much of yourself? Are you allowing those hurts of the past to rob you of what's now? Are you allowing the fear of the diagnosis to rob you of intuitive feelings, to understand that there are good things that can come out of any situation? They may not be the situation you want. I told you I would tell you about this young woman from Rwanda who spoke in front of the Vatican at a women's conference. Faith, I don't remember what the name of it was, Faith in Women or Women of Faith, or it was a Vision of Faith conference. But she spoke among many other speakers, and she had a horrific experience in life. This young woman had gone through a mother dying, a father dying, two sisters dying, a grandmother dying, a father dying, a grandfather dying, all having to run from one village to another, seeing the other girls just a little older than her being used as slaves and harmed and taken as wives when they didn't want to be taken as wives, and little boys that were taken into slavery and made to do all kinds of stuff, and one, and just always frightful, malnourished, truly malnourished. And she ended up in some very unusual situation where she was able to get some kind of visa to China, had to learn Chinese, and she spoke beautiful English, and she's becoming a physician. And part of what she's going to do is to help others who are in this situation, but she's going to go and help people get educated, because that's the core. That's the solution. Education for her is what helped her not succumb, and that she looked at the good things. She did have tragedy, and she said one couple words that really got me. She said, "No little child should go through what I went through." And that's the beauty of the human spirit. That's the human spirit you have inside of you. I have heard little kids say that about their own situations. No other little boys should go through what I went through last year. I've heard little children say that. Those are true mystics. Those are true mystics among us. That's the truth. That's the solution. Are those people going to have traumas and revisit traumas? Yes. Are they going to have problems in relationships? Yes. Are they going to have difficulty sometimes maybe being overprotective with their own children? Yes. Maybe they shy away from children. Maybe they can't have children because of traumas that happened to them. The reality is, though, that they're looking at solutions and their hearts are open to solutions. Saint Josephine Bakita, the same thing, sold into slavery at 9 and one horrific experience after another. But eventually she found herself. She didn't just decide, but the opportunity to open to another level, to help others get through their traumas and to constantly serve. These are the things. It was listening to an intuitive spiritual call that gets a person from the analysis fear mode. And you can use that analysis. This young woman is going to medical school, and I'm telling you, there's not a lot. There's a lot in medical school that's all about analysis. You have to. You have to analyze acids and base and chemical reactions and laboratories and physiology and cultural situations. And there's so much about that training that is analysis, but it's infused with the art and the intuition and the gut. But her main thing is education. And this is the mode in which she's going to teach it, is education. You'd think she'd go be a teacher, but no, she wants to bring health and education, because you can't begin to learn unless you're physically healthy and if you're dying from diseases and malnutrition, you're not going to be able to be the next generation. So you see, you have the ability within you to see the problem, but don't see it only the problem. The simultaneously, as you see the problem, immediately transform into asking for the solution. What's the solution? What's the solution for now? I can't pay my bills. What's the solution for now? Not how I got here, but how am I going to pay my bill today? How am I going to get through today? How am I going to be with my child today? How am I going to be with my spouse today? This is what we need to look at. So we will go and look at this more as the week goes on next week. You have a beautiful weekend in front of you. I want you to ingest solution, open up, look at the blades of grass. Find the little weeds that are growing in there. See all the variations of life in front of you and know that all that is open to you by utilizing all that is given to you to face your life. I am Dr. Michelle. You're welcome to email me, DM live, redboxmedia.com. God bless. Have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.